If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to go ahead and find Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis 1 will be our text. If you don't have a Bible, I put that passage in the bulletin for you. Also, if you wanted to find a spot in the book of Romans chapter 5 and Philippians chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, Romans chapter 5, Philippians chapter number 1. These will all be places that I will visit this morning. And I understand I'm racing the clock. In a moment, that sausage and biscuit and French toast stick and eggs and bacon and fruit, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about that coffee. So I know I'm racing the clock. And I'm excited to preach to you a message entitled, "And God Created Man." And God created man. And I'm excited today to preach to the men. I'm excited today to celebrate being a man. I don't mean this with any unkindness at all. I just mean this as graciously truthful as I can. I'm glad that God made me a man. If you're glad about that, say amen. Amen. Glad to be men. Wouldn't want it any different. Love women. Love my wife. Love the beauty of a woman. Love the brilliance, you like that, of a woman. I have seen women do things that a man could never do. Praise God that a man will never have to do. Amen. Things a man would never want to do. Amen. I enjoy sleeping and being with a woman, but I am glad that I am a man. And I want to exalt manhood a little bit today. Sad part is, we live in a society that has no idea what it is to be a man. And everything they are putting in front of us is what the world would define as a man. We had a word when I was growing up, it was the word sissy. Nobody wanted to be a sissy. Today it seems like all we celebrate is sissiness. You turn on the television and our men are sissies. They dress like a sissy, talk like a sissy, act like a sissy. They're sissies. Walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. It's a what? It's a duck. And sad part is, I don't think we have much hope today. In our nation, we need men. And I'm not so much concerned about our nation today as much as I'm concerned about our homes, our marriages, our relationships, our children, our churches. I know that the world wants to put down manhood. God exalts manhood. And I know that because of the way that our culture is, our men are lost today. And I don't necessarily even mean lost as unsaved. I just mean they don't have a clue what's going on. Most men have no idea what's going on in their home. Most men have no idea what's going on in their lives of their children. Most men have no idea what's going on in the brain of their wife. Oh, how'd that get in there? But anyway, we have no idea. Manhood has been reduced to 9 to 5. Manhood has been reduced to doing whatever the mama tells us to do. Manhood has been reduced to just routine and day in and day out. And man tries to be a leader and he gets stomped down, pressed down, and shoved out. A man will fight and do all of that, but I have found that in your home, if the woman wants to lead, a lot of men are just letting the ladies lead. We would rather be lovers than we would be fighters. And I'm looking at men and I'm looking in their eyes and I'm just thinking that there's no thrill there. There's no joy there. There's no understanding. So I want to preach today about a subject entitled God Created Men. And I have been talking with men and praying about this and reading about this. And I believe, men, that I'm going to try to get into your brain today. Every once in a while, somebody will ask me, did my wife call you? Did my wife tell you what to preach? No. Have you been listening to our conversations? No. I pray, and God lets me know. But I'm coming in your brain today. I want to get in your brain so I can get to your heart. I want you to know that I love you. I'm proud of the men in our church. But I'm not going to sit around and stand anymore for the outside world to define manhood when manhood is defined according to the Word of God. And I'm not ashamed to be a man anymore. It's about time we stand up for what we believe. It's about time we know what we believe. It's time we speak up for what we believe. It's time we have a little bit of courage. It's time that we do what God made us and called us to do. I don't have to give an account to Hollywood. I have to give an account to Jesus Christ. Amen. Ladies, you need to know something about a man. A man was made to be significant. A man needs significance. A man needs in his brain a reason to exist. A man needs to understand who he is. A man needs to have purpose and meaning. You want to gut a man, you gut him and take away his significance. Well, I wear the pants in my house. I'm the significant one in this house. You've gut your man. Most men are gutted by their wives. Pastor, my man won't get off the couch because you gut him. He's stuck. A man cannot handle being embarrassed by his wife. A man cannot handle feeling ashamed with his wife. You want to gut your man, embarrass him. You want to gut him, ashame him. You want to rob his dignity, steal his significance. A man was made to be significant. A man was made to lead. A man was made to provide. A man was made to protect. A man was made to be the head. A man was made to have all of these things. And when God made him, he made him with tremendous significance. The problem is today that our world denies God as the creator. And in denying God as the creator of a man, we have denied God not only as the creator, but we have denied the purpose of creation. We tell men that there is no supreme creator, that there is no God, that there is no purpose, that they just evolved, that they came from a monkey, that they came from something that is inexplainable. We rob from them the fact that they were created by God. And so in the fact that we have robbed God as the creator, therefore we have robbed man of his significance. Patrick Morley, in his book, The Man in the Mirror, said that significance is searched for by a man continually. Significance is searched for by the desire to know the answer for two questions. A man needs to know, who am I? And why do I exist? I am finding that those two questions are asked not only by saved men, but by all men. The question must be answered in a man's mind as to his significance. Ladies, you need to understand something about a man's mind. Thank you, Pastor. I'd like to understand something about it. I paid good money for these seats today. You better give me something. I know you don't think it works, but it works continually. A man's mind is a man's battleground. A woman's mind can be distracted on things. A woman's mind can be satisfied and can rest. A man's mind is prowling. It's searching. A man was made to be a creator. A man was made to be a provider and a protector. And a man's mind does not stop. And a man is always in his mind searching for, where does he fit? What is his significance? A man desires to have glory. God gave it so a man would know glory. A man desires to be in a leadership position. Pastor, sometimes my man's not concentrated on me. Pastor, sometimes he seems distant to me. Sometimes there's this divide. What's going on? His mind is working. There's a battleground. There's a battleground for his flesh, for the control of his mind, for his mind to be covered by the blood of Christ, for his mind to be pure. A man's mind is constantly under attack in the area of purity. Constantly. Pastor, all my man thinks about is intimate relations. That's exactly right. It's a drive of a man. God didn't give a woman that drive. If he gave a woman that drive and a man that drive, nothing would get done in the world. And a man's mind is searching for that place where he feels at home, where he gets his roots, his identity. And so there's a search for significance. All men try to find it. And men, I want you to know something. Significance can be found. You got to listen to me today. The world will say that a man is significant when he reaches a famous position. A man will search for immortality. A man does desire to have something that survives his life. He wants to make his mark. It is built within a man to have his name remembered. And we have a drive for that, doing something that lasts. Some men want their name written in stone. Some men want it written on a building. But there is a drive in a man that to do something larger than himself. We see this in a horrific and heinous opposite. A man walks into schools and every 3.4 seconds breaks out an automatic weapon and is shooting a child. I was watching a Navy SEAL being interviewed, and he was leading a task force on how to help our government and our officers understand what they call an active shooter inside a school. And he was coming at it from the vantage point of, we're taking too much time on the outside. We just need to get in there. He said, we're realizing that once the active shooter sees anybody else with an authority with a gun, they usually end their own life. He said, you got to understand, it's not the murder that they're after. He said, it's the immortality that they're after. They want to be remembered. They want something larger than their life. And listen, that makes perfect sense in our culture. You take God out of our culture, that man still has a drive for immortality. Don't you remember in the Bible when it says, this mortal shall put on immortality? We find our significance in Christ. When you pull God out of a culture, where does a man find his significance? He finds it in his own imagination. And if a man has to go into his imagination, the Bible says about a man's imagination is that it is evil. Continually. If a man tries to find his significance in fame, I want to remind you something. I love what Patrick Morley said. He said, fame fades like a sun-bleached furniture on your back porch. The world says that we will try to find our significance in our possessions. Nothing wrong with possessions. Hope you have a bunch of them. We like nice things. Nothing wrong with a man having nice things. Nothing wrong with a woman having nice things. But everybody in this room knows that possessions preach significance. Very few people buy a $100,000 car because it rides well. They buy a $100,000 car because when they see you going down the road, they want your recognition of significance. Very few people, we buy jewelry, we buy clothes, we buy things, we like them, they have an attribute, but we know that they preach significance. And so we have a culture of men that are trying to find their significance in things. I'm reminded of one man that I know very well. I think he found his significance in cars, and every 10 months he had to have a new car. No contentment, had to have the newest thing. How fast things lose their significance. It's very dangerous for a man to tie his identity to the possession of things, because things fade away, things are gone, things change. What happens when you no longer possess things? Are you not a man? I suggest to you that possessions don't make a man. Some men try to find their significance today in their power, in their position, in their job. And they find that significance in the title that they have. How unfulfilling it would be to limit your significance to your job, to your title, to your position. What happens when you retire? Are you not still a man? I am finding that most men have marital affairs as they get bored with things and position and with power. And they need a generation of stimulation. They need something more to find their significance in. What about self-gratification? A man lives to say, I'm getting my piece of the pie. All of these things the world is saying will bring a man his significance. I've got news for you. The Bible says they will do the direct opposite, but the only significance we have is Jesus Christ. Men, Pastor, I don't know where I fit today. My wife doesn't respect me. My kids won't listen to me. I'm losing my job. They're going to take our things. And I'm unsatisfied. And I don't feel like a man. When a man doesn't feel like a man, then a man begins to explore. And when a man doesn't feel like a man and understand manhood, and he doesn't understand the Word of God, and a man releases himself to his imagination, that man is in trouble. Men, there is a fulfillment to being a man, but it has to come through the Word of God. I want to show you how God created a man, and I'm going to show you who you are as God's creation. And then I'm going to show you what happened to manhood. And then how we've been redeemed. And at the end of this message, I want you to find your significance in the person of Christ. For He and He alone is the perfect man. And God's people said. Look, if you would, at Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. To every beast of the earth and to every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very what, class? Good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. This takes place in the Garden of Eden. This takes place when God created men. This takes place thousands and thousands of years ago, prior to the fall of man, prior to sin coming in, God made a man. When God made you men, man was created by God. You did not come from a monkey. You did not evolve. I heard a statistic today, the other day, that about made me want to be sick to my stomach. 4 out of 10, supposedly, in this room, believe in evolution. 4 out of 10 in our Bible churches, the statement said, they have walked away from intelligent design. I hate that phrase. Intelligent design. The phrase is, and God created. 4 out of 10. So we're living now, not only in an unsaved culture, but within the church walls, with people who do not believe that God created them. When you pull out from man the fearful and wonderful creation of God with the purpose of God and the hand of God, all man is left is that sinful nature. If you tell man he came from an animal, he's going to live animalistic. By the way, that's what we have in our culture today. Do you watch Animal Planet? I like Animal Planet. I enjoy it. And I watch these animals. And I like to watch the lions, the king of the jungle. Those lions, what do? Well, there's an old man. He's the leader of that. And he's got all of his women. And he lays around in the sun or in the shade, and the women do all the work. Don't get excited about that. The only time the man gets up is when he's going to eat or when he's going to mate. Or if he has to viciously defend. You know, you look at our society today and really men are living animalistic now. We're on the prowl. I don't want to embarrass my girls, but I can hardly go to the mall with my girls anymore. I'm afraid to send them by themselves. I'm walking down a mall. And my girls are 16 and I tease Casey, she's 12, but I think she's 14. And grown men. Makes you sick, doesn't it? Grown men are on the prowl. Now, I have a concealed weapon. Grown men stealing our children. Grown men laying around all day unless they want to rise up to play and to kill and to eat. Grown men who no longer are tied just to one woman. They have a harem. Grown men that no longer see the advantage of marriage. And our society is exalting humanity and manhood that is animalistic. And they have denied God as the creator, and they have unleashed that sinful nature and its imagination, and they have said, that is manhood. I got news for you. That's so far from manhood, it makes me sick. Manhood is found in Jesus Christ. You were created by God as a man. You were created in His image. A man needs an image. A man needs esteem. A man needs worth. A man needs that understanding. Image is the mere reflection. Image is how we were relating. We weren't created as gods, but we were created to know God. We were created to walk with God. We were created with purpose. We were created with the purpose of dominion. A man was created to have authority. A man was created to be a leader. A man was created to rule. He wasn't created to be a dictator. If God wanted us to be a dictator, He wouldn't have given us a will. But man was made with that kind of authority and that kind of esteem and that kind of direction. That's how God made man. God looked at Adam and said, you've got dominion over the earth. Our men can't even tie their shoes today. They can't even balance a checkbook. They can't even have a nasty thought. They can't even hold a conversation. Our men cannot. There's no dominion today. We've taken the dominion and we've handed it over to the ladies. By the way, that's what the animal kingdom does. The ladies do all the work. And the men just satisfy their self needs. That's not manhood. You were created to be blessed by God. You were created for God to pour out His miraculous power. You were created to have a union with Him that was beyond our own ability. We were created to have the powerful providing hand of God in our life. We were created to live above our own thoughts and imaginations. We were created to live in light and glory of Him. We were created to be fruitful. A man needs to be fruitful. A man needs to see development. A man needs to see success. By the way, God made a man to be successful. After the fall, God had to get Joshua and say, Joshua,
Pay attention to the Word of God. Then thou shalt have good success. Prior to sin, Adam was totally successful. It's built within a man to be successful. He is not significant if he's not successful. But God made us to be that way. When God made you, God looked at you and God said you are good. Pastor, my man won't get off the couch. Probably because you gut him. Try telling him how good he is once in a while. He's not good. Well, I got news for you. You are neither. You're going to make me do it, aren't you? Amen, Pastor. God made a man to be good. Pastor, if God made all that, what happened? Thought you'd never ask. Remember how I asked you to go to Romans chapter 5? Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, what entered the world, class? Sin. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What happened to men? Sin came into the world. When sin came into the world, it stripped a man of everything he had. When sin came into the world, it stripped a man of his identity. It stripped a man of his integrity. It stripped a man of his dignity. It gut us. We were created by God. Sin separated us from our Creator. We were made in His image. Sin put us in the image of Adam and it made us incomplete. We were made to have dominion and have that kind of authority, and we lost our authority when sin came in the world. We were created to be blessed by God, but what do we care about the blessing of God? Sin has robbed even the care of the blessing of God in our lives. I'm a self-made man. I'll do it myself. We were made to be fruitful, and sin brought us to a barren and dry and place of non-fruitfulness in our life. Sin brought us to an understanding where we lost our goodness. What happened to manhood? Sin came. But I love Romans chapter 5, verse number 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, say his name, Jesus Christ. Men, when God created a man, he created them with all of those things in Genesis chapter 1. When sin came in Genesis chapter 3, it took everything from a man. Satan said, I'll make you a man. Fill yourself with all that I have to offer. Fill yourself with manhood. Fill it with fame, power, position, prestige, things. Just shove it full and you'll be a man. Well, we've tried that. And we didn't become men. We became playboys. And we didn't become men. We've become a homosexual nation. But hallelujah, where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. And Jesus Christ came. And Jesus Christ came and he provided and died for our sin. He was buried and he rose again. And he brought to us life. Finish this if you would please. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Men. There was manhood that God created. He looked at it and he said, it's good. Sin gut it. Jesus came to restore it. Amen. And when Jesus comes into the life of a man, he brings himself. He brings all of his authority, all of his relationship, all of his power, all of his dominion, all of his fruit, all of his love, and all of that fills inside. And Jesus Christ completes in a man that which sin got. And Jesus Christ becomes significant to us. And if a man is going to know significance, men, we've got to learn that our significance is in him. And God's people said, I love the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul gives us a verse that I don't know that I know the depth of. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 21, the Apostle Paul gives a statement of significance for his life. For to me, to live is, say his name, and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul said, you want to know where I find significance? I find significance in my life in Jesus Christ. My whole life is consumed with Him. My whole life is found in measure of Him. Everything about Him satisfies me. I no longer am trying to be a man by myself. I have found that Jesus Christ is my life. I'm significant in Him. I'm satisfied in Him. I'm a man in Him. Boy, the world would call us anything but men. But that's what God called them in Christ. Look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 3. Just so you understand how much the Apostle Paul gave away. The Apostle Paul, in verses 4, 5, and 6, tells you what he tried to find significance in his life. In verse number 4, he tried to find significance in the confidence of his flesh. He found that that was not true. Verse number 5, he tried to find significance in being a Jew, in being religious, in his heritage, in his prestige, in his position. And that didn't work. Verse number 6, he tried to find significance in his power, for he was persecuting the church, in his self-gratification. He said, I was blameless in it. And the Apostle Paul had a whole life of trying to be significant in these things. And you come to verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win, say his name, class. Verse number 9, and be found in Him, not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He goes on in verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. I reach forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ satisfies a man. And Paul said, I had all these things I was trying to find significance in. And one day I met Him. And I was found in Him, and I began to know Him. And I looked at everything else, and I said, it's refuse. It has no power. It's dung. Get it out. I'll press forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Every man in this room can be a godly man. Every man in this room can know the fulfillment of your drive. And I know your drive to be significant. I have the same drive. I know we drive to be worth something, to fit somewhere, to mean something, to make an impact. Who am I? Am I just a guy that goes to work and comes home to a wife that won't love me, touch me, care for me, do anything, talk to me? Am I just a man that's going to give them all this money and everybody walks away? Is this all life is? Where do I fit, Pastor? I'm incomplete. I'm unfulfilled. They're telling me at work, she's telling me if I'll come over here and be with her, that she'll satisfy me, but I don't want to do that. They're telling me if I go out here and do this and drink this and have this, that I'll be satisfied, but I don't want to do that. Pastor, I'm lost. Our world is filled with men that are lost. Paul said, I was lost, but I was found in Christ. And then once I found Him, I wanted to get to know Him. And when I got to know Him, all I wanted to do was press forward toward Him. That is significance. Jesus Christ is enough to satisfy everyone in this room. And God's people said, amen. We better find our significance in Him, men. We better do it, or we're in big trouble. Shall we pray?